Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 through 14. The Reverend Brian Heller is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Exodus chapter 32, beginning at verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, "With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth"? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, "I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever." And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning in our text from Exodus chapter 32, what this really boils down to is something that's really not too profound, but something that we always need to be reminded of, especially this morning. Our prayers are really heard and answered by God. And why do we need to be reminded of this basic truth? Well, simply put, sin turns us into fools, forgetful fools. Like the Israelites, we are quick to turn away from God when we think that he has abandoned us. And the world around us feeds into this. Usually we hear when a tragedy occurs that thoughts and prayers are almost always mocked as being pointless. And instead, the world says that we need to take actual action, usually in the form of some type of social justice reform, to really make a change. As we're gathered here this morning during the season of Lent, it's good as time as any to remember and refresh ourselves in a simple truth. Your prayers are heard and they're answered by God. In fact, this whole chapel service this morning is wrapped around prayer. But the problem is, due to our sinful, fallen flesh, we too are tempted to foolishly disbelieve in the power that our prayers as redeemed children of God, baptized into his holy name, that these prayers carry. Consider our text this morning. The Israelites thought for sure that Moses was a goner. He had left 40 days ago. He didn't take any food, any water with him. There's absolutely no way he can be alive anymore. What is telling about all of this is that it really doesn't even cross the Israelites' mind, or Aaron's for that matter, who's leading them at this point, to pray to God on behalf of Moses for his safety and his return. Their leader chosen by God, their leader that confronted Pharaoh head on, would lift his staff, parted the Red Sea through the power of God, and it led them every step of the way through the wilderness towards the promised land. No one thought to even offer up one prayer for his concern and his well-being. Instead, what the Israelites do is they take a look around them, figure that thoughts and prayers to be a waste of time, in such a tragedy as being stuck at the bottom of the mountain, and they decide to act. Time to make our own gods, ones that we can see with our own eyes, and ones that won't go running up some mountain and disappearing on us. We see the foolishness of their sin in full display when they cast their gold into the fire and fashion for themselves this golden calf. Everyone knows that this calf didn't really deliver them from Egypt, but the people are completely blinded by their sin. Aaron himself even builds this calf an altar. And this is really where our text comes in. We see that these sinful, foolish actions are not being done in secret, as the Israelites so might think. God is watching all of it, and we know that Moses is very much alive. God declares in our reading this morning that these people are a stiff-necked people. He says they're not even his anymore. They're Moses, and he will consume them and instead fulfill his promises through Moses alone. When God declares these things, this may seem like a done deal. But Moses, in his love for the people, even a people that do not care enough about him to pray for him, we see Moses do the opposite. He prays on behalf of the Israelites. He does exactly what Luther encourages us to do as Christians, to go to God as dear children go to their dear father. And how do children ask their parents for things? Pretty bluntly. They remind you of what you've said in the past. Dad, remember when you promised us this? We see Moses do the same thing with God. This is how Moses intercedes for the people. God, these are your people, not mine. Remember what you said in your promises. Remember what you told Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Stay true to those things that you have promised. Of course, God listens to the Moses' plea for mercy, and he relents in the impending disaster that he was going to bring about on the Israelites. So their brothers and sisters in Christ gathered here this morning, reflect on your own life and your own prayers. How often do we ourselves intercede for our family, friends, neighbors, even those that we consider our enemies? Have we instead bought the lie that Satan tells us, that our prayers are worthless, like the Israelites with the calf? We need to act according to our thoughts, our wants, and our sinful desires. All of us have faltered in our prayers. All of us have foolishly erected our own golden calves in our own lives, things that we put our hope, trust, and pray to instead. Whether these things look like our family, our career, dreams, aspirations, you get the picture. Things outside of Christ. Faltering in our prayers is so common a sin to us as Christians that we fall into, that even the rite of private confession and absolution, that sin is specifically mentioned. This morning, repent of the sinful, foolish actions that you have done. It is not too late. Those golden calves of your lives, they do not love you, they will not die for you, and they cannot save you from God's eternal wrath. Be assured today that you do have a very real God that does love you. You have a very real Savior that died a very real death on a cross and was raised back to a very real resurrection. Christ, now ascended to the Father, sits at his right hand, and you have someone greater than Moses interceding to the Father on your behalf. You have Christ, your Savior, the Son of God himself. Christ truly is your advocate. He is your mediator. Your prayers do not fall on deaf ears. God inclines his ears and listens to every petition that you utter, even those groanings that are too deep for words. Ignore the lies that our world tells you about your prayers. Because you know as Christians, as baptized children of God, that your Father in heaven does listen to them. Your prayers are heard, your prayers are answered. And because of this truth, we know that the greatest act of love that we can show to one another is to pray for them. We're called not to neglect this good work. When people ask you to pray for them, or when you hear about something going on in someone's lives and you say, "I will keep you in my prayers," actually do so. Pray for them. Just as Moses' prayer turned God away from his wrath toward the Israelites, be assured that God too listens and answers your prayers. As we see Moses interceding for the Israelites, we too are called to pray for those in our own lives. And we appeal to God on the basis of his love and mercy for sinners. Love and mercy, rooted in him sending his very Son, Jesus Christ, to bear all of our sins and to die to the death on the cross for us. This is who truly God is, and this is what he has done for us. He is truly Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. So we continue to pray. We pray for our grandparents, parents, pastors, church workers, all those who have helped guide us through this wilderness of life, who has brought us to the salvific word of God while we were in the midst of our slavery to sin. We pray for our family members, our friends, our neighbors, those that we consider to be our enemies, those whose lives seem as godless and hopeless as wayward Israelites eating, drinking, and dancing merrily around a golden calf. This morning, in a few moments, we will be praying the litany. And we meditate on these words. Don't just gloss over them. Continue to pray the Psalms, the Lord's Prayer, that God's will be done and not our own. The same God who brings his people to repentance time and time again, the same God who brought creation out of nothing, the same God who has delivered you from your sinful, foolish life, is the same God who brings death into life. He continues to work in our lives today, creating and sustaining our faith in him, forgiving all of our sins, answering all of our prayers in Christ Jesus alone. Be assured of this truth, this even simple truth, this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.